Now, as we continue with our studies in the scriptures, most of you know we have been going through a series of studies seeking to learn lessons from the things written to the church at Ephesus. We've been spending some time now in the first letter written to Timothy, for there Paul was seeking to instruct Timothy regarding things that had gone wrong in the church at Ephesus and how these things should be corrected, difficulties that had to be faced. And I have emphasized day after day that the difficulties that were seen in the church at Ephesus are difficulties which arise in almost every local church at some time or another. Now today, I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 5. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these two verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again, approaching Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we need Thee at all times, and we thank Thee for the open door whereby we can approach to the throne of grace and here obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And, O God, many of Thy dear people are in need in these days of difficulty. Look down in mercy upon them, help them, strengthen them, and grant above all that they shall stand in the evil day. Be with us now as we seek to search and study Thy word, and grant it shall be a blessing to all who listen. We ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now, as we turn to chapter 5 today, we discover this, that in the New Testament, we are faced with a variety of figures presenting the relationship which exists between Christians. You know, in some parts of the Bible, the church is presented to us as if it were a body. The body with its various members. That body being controlled by the head. We learned that when we were going through the epistle to the Ephesians, where the doctrines were being laid down, that the church is a body, and Christ is the head in heaven. And all the control of the body should come from the risen head. But there are other times when the church is viewed as a building, where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone and the foundation. He also becomes the capstone, and the building is fitly joined together, going on to be a holy temple. And then we view again another aspect where we view it as a house, where there is administration. But now, as we turn to the two verses I have read today, we are faced with something else. I suggest that here we're viewing the church now as a family unit. Now that is a beautiful representation. I suppose this is the most intimate of all, this figure of a family, with its mutual responsibilities, the one for the other. In most families, of course, the first thing we've got to face is this: there are differences in ages. There's the father, there's the mother, there are the children who come along one by one. That is in the usual course, of course. And then, as the family begins to grow, we notice then there are differences in their ages. That is the first thing we shall have to note in connection with the two verses that I have read to you. Not only do you find differences in ages in a family, you sometimes come across differences in the dispositions. You don't find that every member of the family has the same kind of temperament, and there may be differences in their outlook on things, differences in their desires, and so we've got to face differences in the temperament of the various members of the family. Then again, occasionally, when discipline is expected and discipline has got to be administered, you'll find it's got to be administered in different degrees, in different manners. Sometimes members of a family give little or no trouble to the parents. Nevertheless, the parents are expected to train and discipline the children until such times that the children are able to accept responsibility for themselves. Now, just as these things are seen in family life, I am suggesting to you now that these same things are seen in the spiritual life of a local church. Now, if you care to look at the two verses I have read to you, reference is made to the man who is an elder man. Now, it says, rebuke not an elder. Now, when we were studying chapter 3, we were dealing there with the elders, and we made a lot of reference way back to the Acts of the Apostles, where the Apostle Paul called for the elders of the church. And I emphasized that these elders were a very distinctive body of men who had accepted the responsibility for the care of that church. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear that this man who is mentioned here in the first opening statement of chapter 5 is not that elder. Here it's the elder person, an elderly man. Now, it's not accepted nowadays to speak of a person as being old. The thought of being elder here is a relative term, so that this man here is the elder man. He's the father, you would say, in the family. He's elder because of his age, and it's age that's in view here in verse 1, and not the responsibility of guiding in the assembly. And then he speaks of the elder women in verse 2. And then we speak of the young men in verse 1, and also the younger women in verse 2. So that the distinction is made between elderly men and younger men, between elderly women and younger women. So there is a particular or special treatment to be given to each one according to their age and their maturity, as you would say, in the things of God. Now, if we were to keep the idea of the family unit in mind, perhaps it would make church fellowship a more enjoyable thing. Sometimes church fellowship gets too large. As I read through the scriptures, it seems to me that whenever a church reaches a certain fellowship, so many people attending it, I think it's time for them to hive off. You know, if you take your illustration from the beehive, you know, if the bees were all to continue in the one hive, there wouldn't be room for them, there wouldn't be work for them. So there comes the time when the young queen takes off, and so many of the bees follow the young queen, and they set up a new hive. And thus you have more bees, you have more work, you have more honey. And so nature has so provided them with this instinct. Then again, in human life, a couple set up the home. They have a family. But as each one in the family reaches the age of responsibility and they take unto themselves a partner in life, they don't usually stay on with the parents. It would be a strange home. if the parents retain the home, and perhaps six in the family, and each member of the family married and brought in a partner, and each couple took a room and began to raise their children, and all the grandchildren stayed on in the house, my, the thing would become unworkable. But what happens is this, each member of the house moves out, sets up a new home, and thus organizes and administers the new home, and thus the growth goes on. Now, likewise, when it comes to the spiritual family, the family of God, keep in mind that in the early days of Christianity, it would appear from the reading of the New Testament that many of the local churches met in homes. They would have the large upper rooms, and they would gather together for fellowship in these large upper rooms. Today we are very fortunate, of course, when we think of the beautiful buildings and all the comforts that we have in these buildings. But nevertheless, I'm suggesting to you that in the early days, perhaps church gatherings were not nearly so large as they are today. It seems to be at the present time that people are competing with one another to see who can have the largest congregations. And we had so many in attendance, and you know the way that they boast about it. My friend, what we'll have to look at for a moment or two is this, that it's quality that counts rather than quantity. Here in these verses we are given the aspect of things of a family, and the first person we're asked to consider is this man who is the elder, that is, the older man. Now, there's a rather strange word here. It says rebuke. Rebuke not an elder. And then the other side of the coin is, but entreat him as a father. Now, it seems in the very writing of this statement that there is the possibility that older men can make mistakes. That is, older men can be held accountable for misdemeanors in spiritual things just as well as young men. I think we all ought to face this, that older people can make mistakes just the same as younger people. Now, in any family, I think the father can make a mistake just as well as his son. In fact, sometimes the fathers have been responsible for leading their sons astray. So it seems clear from the writing of this verse that some, perhaps one or more, of the elderly men in the church at Ephesus were not doing the right thing. In plain words, they may be guilty of spiritual misdemeanors. Now they've got to be dealt with. Elder men have got to be dealt with and brought under discipline just the same as younger people. But the question arises, how is this to be done? Now, he uses a word here. He says, rebuke not an elder. The idea is this, do not speak harshly to an older man. After all, it seems to be entirely out of place for a young man to use sharp language even in rebuking an older man. You've not to do it severely. He may require to be reproved. He may require to be spoken to about the thing that is wrong. But nevertheless, we must show respect for age. And that respect for the older man, respect for his age, must temper the expression of reproof. And even if this elder man is guilty of some misdemeanor, you must speak to him in a way that will reach the objective. And so he tells us how to do it. but entreat him as a father. Put yourself then in the place of Timothy. Timothy, relatively, is a younger man. There would be men in the church at Ephesus who had been there perhaps for many years. They were older in years than Timothy. Still, they were doing things that weren't right. And it would be Timothy's place to point out that these elder men required to be corrected. Now, says the apostle, if a younger man is going to speak to an elderly man, and he's going to administer reproof, and he's going to come along and rebuke him or reprove him, don't do it in a harsh way. But rather, when you go to correct this man, entreat him as a father. Consider now that this man was your own father, and you realize that your own father has made a mistake. How would you treat your own father? I don't suppose you would treat him harshly. You wouldn't rebuke him openly. Of course not. You would deal with him with a heart that was touched with kindness. After all, he's your father. You would respect his age. You'd respect the years in which he cared for you. Now, says the apostle, that same attitude that you would show towards your own father, I want you to show towards the elder men who are in the local church. And even if these men must be corrected, if they've got to be reproved, do it in a kindly fashion, and treat them as you would your own father. But then sometimes young men do what is wrong. Now he said, how are you going to treat the young men who require to be corrected? The younger men as brethren, don't look upon them as outsiders. They're members of the same family. They came into the family the same way as you. In the natural sense, you were born into the family. In the spiritual sense, you came into God's family by the new birth. Born again of the Spirit of God introduces you into God's spiritual family. And these younger men, while they may be younger than you, and they haven't been Christians as many years as you, nevertheless, if they've got to be corrected, deal with them as you would a brother. How is that? Well, of course, a young man should be treated as an equal. Show him the same respect as you would show to your own brother in the flesh. That is, in a natural relationship, I would show respect to my own brother. He's my brother. So therefore, in the spiritual relationship, I'm going to show respect to that young man, even if he has made a mistake. My responsibility is to treat him with the kindness of a brother. You see, it's a family setup. It's a family relationship. So therefore, the young man who has erred and has made mistakes, he's got to be treated as an equal, and he's got to be corrected. But then he moves from there, and what about the elderly women? Sometimes elderly women will make mistakes. They're not exempt from it. Many an elderly lady has made a mistake. So therefore, how are you going to treat those elderly women? Now he seems to suggest that the same respect that we would show to a mother should be extended to every elderly woman in fellowship in any local church. In plain words, if my own mother erred, if my own mother had made some mistake, how would I expect the other members of the family to treat my mother? Now, the same way as we would treat our own mother, we should show that same respect to the elderly women in church fellowship. After all, they're somebody's mother. And the way I would expect people to treat my mother is the way I should treat them. Even if they have to be corrected, if something has gone wrong, if they're not acting acting with the proper decor that they ought to, if they're not behaving themselves as is expected of them as elderly Christian women, nevertheless, we've got to treat them as we would our own mother. Show them respect for what they are. So the elderly women, he says, treat them as mothers. That's how we should treat those elderly women. Should give them all the esteem, affection, and help that the maternal relationship should always evoke. But now there's another class of people in the local church, and he calls them the younger. The younger women have to be treated as sisters, and he adds this with all purity. How would a young man respect his sister? And how would a young man act towards someone that didn't respect his sister? Now you see, a standard of purity is set up here for treating every young woman. I believe we're living in days when this must be emphasized. The young women of the family are to be treated as sisters and guarded from all unchaste thought and unholy attention. You know, one's recollection goes at once to John's similar delineation of the varying status of the members of the Christian family. He speaks of little children, those who have only just been born again, young men, those who are strong, virile, and adventurous in the faith, fathers, those who have longer knowledge of him, who have begotten sons in the gospel, even as Paul had begotten Timothy. He calls him my own son, calls him my dearly beloved son. Only, let us seek to be up to standard at each stage of our growth, which is what perfect, that word perfect means, coming up to the standard. In such a verse as Matthew 4:48, only let us treat the other members of the spiritual family in this becoming way. So therefore, we're living in a day when young men and old men alike have got to be warned regarding their attitude to the younger women, and younger women should be warned that their lives should be lived in all purity. Now look, if young women have to be treated as sisters and have to be treated with all purity, and if they expect others to treat them with this all purity, then, of course, they themselves should be living in purity. So when you take these four things together, in any church fellowship, we have elderly men. We should be going on to maturity and keeping the standard. But if something should happen, a mistake is made, there's a misdemeanor, entreat that older man, entreat him as you would a father. Get him to do what is right and to refrain from that which is wrong. And if something has been done that is wrong, may he be led to repentance. The younger men, treat them as your equals, as brethren, and encourage them in the things of the Lord. But elderly women, deal with them as you would your own mother. Show them that necessary respect. And may we look upon these elderly women as being mothers in Israel. Women who have left on the stage of time their mark as spiritual women. These younger women, guard them, look after them, respect them as you would your own sister, for after all, these young women are our sisters in the Lord, in the spiritual family. Young men, show respect to young women. Young women, show respect for yourself.